1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this portion of Scripture, and Lord, thank you for a month where you've stirred and helped, and Lord, I think helped us to refocus, and Lord, maybe look a little at our priorities and see the world, view the world, view our lives through the eyes of God. And so, Lord, I pray that we'll take this, what we've heard, what we've experienced, what we felt, and Lord, we won't allow the devil, those ravens of hell, they love to snatch the seed before it has a chance to grow, to take root and grow into anything. So, Lord, help us to not let the devil do that. And I pray, Lord, that we, as we launch now into a new year of Operation Occupation, and then this April into our spring attendance campaign, Lord, that you'll just help us to take this missionary spirit and this missionary excitement and bring it right into our own Jerusalem. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. 1 Corinthians 15:58 is my dad's life verse. I'm going to take that verse and tonight preach on the subject of the hands of a missionary, the hands of a missionary. This is the fourth message that I've brought this month on the making of a missionary. We preached on the feet of a missionary, the eyes of a missionary last week, on the heart of a missionary, and tonight on the hands of a missionary. My dad was in the ministry 41 years. God had called him to preach, and when he was 30 years of age, and he passed away when he was 71 years of age, so he was preaching for 41 years in the ministry. When he talked about being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, we were pleased to hear the words, but it was backed up with a life, and that made the message powerful. This verse, steadfast, unmovable, means to settle down and settle in. Means to choose a seat and refuse to budge. In other words, this is what my life is going to be. It's going to be a life of sacrifice and service. I love the little phrase, always abounding. It means ever, daily, always, whenever, however, whoever, at every opportunity, super abound in excess, be excelling, be better, exceed, increase, redound, go over and above and beyond, always abounding. In what? The work of the Lord. The reason I draw that phrase to your attention in the work of the Lord, and then later on in that same verse, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, when I talk about the hands of a missionary, I'm talking about the work of a missionary. God gave us these hands so that we can go to work. And so I want to remind you that if you truly are going to be a missionary, yes, it starts with the feet, and it starts with obedience, and you just need to go. But as you go, God will open your eyes and allow you to see some things. And we heard the preacher preach on the compassion of Christ and asking God to see, help us to see things through the eyes of Jesus. That was reviewed and an exclamation point put on it this morning. And then the things that we see begin to affect our heart. And then at some point, we just roll up our sleeves and say, let's go to work, let's go to work. So I'm talking about tonight, when I talk about the hands of a missionary, I mean the work of the missionary. There's several things I want to point out to you in this verse. Number one, the work of the Lord is first and foremost work. How about that? The work of the Lord is first and foremost work. The word work is found 69 times in the New Testament, and it's plural. The word works 118 times in the New Testament. I think that makes it important. While Jesus was here on earth, He was busy in the work. He set an example of working while he was here. John 4:34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John 5:17, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto and I work. John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. John 17:4, Jesus said, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. In 2011, my dad finished the work that God had given him to do. And you know what? I'm celebrated last year, my 40-year anniversary of being called into the gospel ministry. I'm in my 41st year, and if God gives me life through this year, I'll have been preaching for the same amount of time my dad got to preach. Now, he was saved later on in life, not until he was 26. And you know what? He allowed me some advantages. Are you listening to me, young people, that he did not have? You say you're trying to outdo your dad. He'd be disappointed if I didn't outdo him. And I'm going to be disappointed in you, young people, if you don't outdo me. I was born into an unsaved family. Some of you were born into a saved family. Are you listening to me? I didn't get a good walk in the doors of a church until I was five. Some of you came 9 months before you were born. Okay, I didn't have a Christian. I didn't got to go 2 years to a Christian school. And some of you are going to go 13 years to a Christian school. Are you listening to me? It's not a matter of outdoing anybody. It's a matter of taking what you've been given and taking it farther than we could have taken it. And you know what it's going to take? It's going to take work. It's going to take work. The Bible clearly identifies service to the Lord and associates it with this idea of work. You know why? Because it is. Acts 13:2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I have called them. God calls us to work. 1 Corinthians 16:10, now if Timotheus comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. James 1:25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. What was the first and the most important prayer request that Jesus ever gave to his disciples? And he saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The formula that he gave us, go, weep, sow, reap, and rejoice, that we read about in Psalms 126. Folks, can I remind you, go requires some work. You've got weeping and you got rejoicing. You got two emotions, but you know what's mostly in that formula? Work, go, sow, and reap. Go to work, go to work. From the first day that I became a pastor, first day in my ministry after Bible college, I clipped out a little poem while I was in Bible college, and I walked in the very first office that I had, and I taped it to the lamp in my office, and that's been good night, 33 years ago now. And you know what? It said, by the way, that same poem, I mean the exact same poem and the exact same piece of paper, if you walk in my office right now and you look at the lamp, and it is a better lamp than I had in those days. The Dively's found me a lamp that was made out of a Harley Davidson exhaust pipe, and it's in my office, and it's one of my most cherished possessions, but it's taped right on my lamp. You know what it says? Listen, we are not here to dream, to drift. There's hard work to do and loads to lift. Shun not the struggle, face it, 'tis God's gift, be strong. Matters not how deep entrenched the wrong, how hard the battle goes, how the day how long, faint not, fight on, tomorrow. Tomorrow comes the song. I just want to say this briefly tonight, but please listen to these words. I'm a little worried. I'm going to lift up my voice a little bit as a trumpet right now. I'm going to challenge the next generation. You be careful in this area of slothfulness. Embrace a work ethic. Don't be afraid to work. Learn to sweat and learn to toil and learn to labor. It's not a curse, it's a gift. Satan can change the culture, and he is. And he can soil the fibers of the American character to the point where no one wants to do anything that requires sacrifice, requires self-denial, requires sweat, blood, and tears. If Satan can destroy our willingness to work, then he will destroy the work of the Lord. First of all, the work of the Lord is just that, work, work. Let me hasten to say this. It's not just work. The work of the Lord is first and foremost work, but the work of the Lord is also exciting. I don't want to make it sound like a drudgery. Yeah, it's work, but you know what? You can learn to love work. You can enjoy work, because what we get to do is the greatest work of all. The greatest work of all. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. You know, folks, listen to me. The ministry may start out at work as work, but pretty soon, if you just stay in there, it becomes an addiction. Addiction. One that I don't want to go to an RU program and get cured, amen. I want to be addicted to the ministry. I love to be involved. I want to say I love to be involved in the work of the Lord. You know, listen, young people, a lot of you are very busy, and your parents have encouraged you to plug in, and you got a great spirit about it, and you bring an excitement with it. Don't ever lose the excitement. Don't ever lose the excitement. This world is hooked on drugs and hooked on debauchery and hooked on booze and hooked on technology. But nothing the world has to offer will give you a bigger high, more genuine satisfaction than the work of the Lord. So decide you're just going to be an addict when it comes to working for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when God called me to preach, listen, you just have no idea. I mean, you know what? I didn't know a thing about anything. I grew up in a preacher's house, should have paid a lot more attention. Went off to Bible college, but I know one thing. I wanted to go to work. Are you hearing me, young people? I wanted to go to work. I want to say it loud. When I turned 18, I wasn't looking for an exit. I wasn't looking for a way out. I wasn't looking to run off and go out into the world and become a hellion. When I turned 18 years of age, you know what I did? I said, it's time for me to get busy. It's time for me to take it to a whole nother level. For the Lord. For the Lord. So I went off to Bible college, and I signed up to help in some ministries. And one of the things they did is they took me on a Sunday afternoon, and they plugged me into a fifth grade department of their church up there, and dealing with the fifth and sixth graders that came in on buses. That was an exciting group. And during the Sunday school, that's what I did. I floated around, was a worker. You know, we've got them around here, worker slash part-time bouncer, you know, and I began to go to the superintendent of that department. I said, listen, I'll do whatever you want. I'll do whatever you want, but God's called me to preach, and I want to teach a class. Can I start today? I didn't know anything about anything, but I wanted to do it. I wanted to do it. Can I start today? He said, I don't have a position open. I said, okay, I'll check back next week. And I did. I went to him, and I said, do you have a position open? I'd like to teach. If anybody ever gets sick, remember Jerry Ross, okay? I'm ready to teach. I want to teach. I want to teach a class. And he'd say, okay, all right, I got that. Go away. Leave me alone. So I did that for about six straight weeks, you know, and I just kept bugging the guy. Hey, listen, I'd love to be bugged by somebody that just wants to serve the Lord so bad they can't stand it. Come on, young people. I'd like to be bugged that way instead of having to take care of, you know, fixing a bunch of nonsense or carnality or wickedness. How about, if you're going to bug the preacher, that's a good way to bug the preacher. I just kept coming to him. I mean, I did, and again, I probably shouldn't have done it. I just didn't know a whole lot. I just thought, you know, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and knock and knock and it shall be opened unto you. So about the sixth week, I went to talk to him about this. He's in the hallway and he's dealing with a couple little heathens that got kicked out of class for doing whatever they were doing. And I come up to him and I said, hey, and he turned around and said, you. And I said, yeah. He said, you want a class? I said, yeah. He said, here. I said, them? Yeah, them. That's your class. Amen. We're out in the hallway. They got kicked out of class. He turned around and said, congratulations, teacher, and walked off. I said, where's my room? You don't have a room. I said, all right. Looked at them. They looked at me. I sized them up. They sized me up. I said, come on, boys. Let's find a corner somewhere. And I did. I found two chairs. I actually found three. I found two chairs. And I set them in the two chairs. Hey, did you sit down across from them? I'm not sitting down. I'm preaching to them. I stood on the chair. Can you imagine? I'm already tall enough, but I sized them up. They sized me up. And I thought, I'm going to get the advantage right away here. So I brought two chairs. I set the third one here. They thought, we're going to have a little powwow. They sat down. I stood up. They're looking up like this, watching me teach, man. Buddy, I opened the Bible, and I didn't teach, I preached. I was jumping up and down off that chair. Well, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about bring some excitement. Bring some excitement. Bring some excitement. It's a shame we've got to a point in America where the average Christian is more excited about sports than they are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. They're more excited about a hobby that they're involved in than they are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I did. I jumped up and down and all around. And man, by the time I got done teaching them, they were sitting there looking at me, watching all of this. And the teachers in the other rooms were complaining because I was too loud. And so then I got down at the end of it, and I put my hands on both their shoulders like this, and I knelt down in front of them. I said, I'm going to pray for you. And I found out their names, and I said, listen, you know kids that you can bring to church, and they're looking like this. I said, you know, here's the thing about getting stuck with two heathens. Little heathens know other little heathens. They do. They know other little heathens. And so those two little heathens brought some more little heathens, and then my class began to grow, and I had 5, and then I had 7, and then I had 8, and I'm filling up the hallway, and they still won't give me a room, and I'm screaming and hollering so that I, you know, cause so much problems that they have to find a place where they can shut the door on me. And listen, folks, I'm going to tell you something. I will get to heaven one of these days. And I believe, I knelt beside many of those boys that came in that Sunday school class and opened my Bible and led them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, you know what? That could still be done in Jasonville, Indiana. If you just decide you're going to get as excited, I don't get it. I don't get it. Why is it young people, even growing up in church, are treating this whole thing like it's something boring? It's not something boring. It's something exciting. They think they got to run out in the world to find excitement. There's nothing more exciting than bring people to Jesus Christ. Then they gave me a bus route. I think they gave me a bus route to get me out of that Sunday school department and bring some peace back to it. By the way, that class grew up to over 30 young men. And every one of those young men, to my knowledge, when I left there, had received Christ as their Savior. We turned it over to somebody else. They put me on a bus route. I didn't know anything about being a bus captain. Well, I want to help some of you. I'm tired of this I can't generation. It's not I can, it's I won't. Come on. Because I got a verse. You say, well, no, that's not true. I got a verse. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Well, preacher, you're just wired different than I'm wired. No. Listen, I wasn't wired this way. I mean, come on. Those of you who knew me as a teenager, I wasn't wired this way. You don't get wired this way until you decide to dedicate your life to Christ and surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's just not how I am. Well, let God change you. Let God change you. Isn't that an interesting word? We should introduce that concept into Christianity. Change! God wants to transform us. He wants to change us. So they put me on a bus route, and I first started out 3 months just helping a guy. Then after that, they came to me and said, the bus captain came to me and said, well, you're going to be taken off my route. I said, I don't want to be taken off your route. I like this route. He said, well, they're going to call you in, and they're going to make you bus captain. And I said, well, I'm going to tell them no. So I walked in there to tell them no and walked out a bus captain. You know, that didn't work out too. I found out you don't tell them no. You just do whatever they say. And so I was in Joliet, Illinois. I was started as a bus worker for 3 months in Joliet, Illinois. And that's why the crime level went way down. Wait a minute. I think it went up when I was there. But and then they moved me to inner city Chicago. And they said, you find this intersection and you meet this guy on this intersection and he'll show you where your bus route is. And I showed up there and, you know, I just typed it into my smartphone and then followed my GPS up there. So I could find, no, I actually had to get a map in those days and figure out how to get there. And I showed up, and the guy that met me there said, okay, well, you're the new bus captain of this route. And we're standing on a corner, and he said, it goes 4 blocks that way, and it goes 6 blocks that way. And he said, this street here was my bus route, and they gave this street to your bus route because this bus route's been closed down for about 2 semesters because I didn't have a bus captain. There's a couple lady workers that visits, bring 10 or 15 kids. And so I'm going to give you this street and you've got the rest of this. And so he went down, introduced me to the kids on this street. And then he said, good luck. And here I am. Can you imagine a kid from Jasonville, Indiana, out in the middle of, I mean, folks, I'm looking around and I'm thinking to myself, I have left planet Earth. I have not. And you know what I did? Listen, you know what I did? Just roll up your sleeves and go to work. Just roll up your sleeves and go to work. I didn't have a clue how to be a bus captain. I honestly didn't. But you know what? I knew how to get on my knees and say, God, help me. I knew how to get on my knees and say, God, help me. Help me, God. Help me. Get up off my knees, roll my sleeves up, and go to work. Go to work. Go to work. So you know what I did? I wrote out a little map real quick with a piece of paper because he told me 6 blocks. And then I tried to walk down and write the names of the streets so at least I knew what the boundaries were. And you know what I did? I just started going through the streets. And I just started stopping people and talking to them about the Lord and stopping kids and telling them about the bus route. And I'd follow this kid and he'd run me this way. And then I'd meet another kid and he'd run me this way. I wish I had a system. I didn't have a system except chase the kid that's taking you to their mom and dad's. I'd scribble on a scrap piece of paper. Folks, I was so disorganized. I'd write their name on a scrap piece of paper and their address, and I'd rip it off and wad it up and put it in my pocket. I mean, this is Jerry Ross, this is how I did it. And half the time, I probably was off my route. I don't know where I was. Some kids didn't know their address, and they'd just say, I'll meet you here. And I thought, yeah, you'll meet me here, you know. And they'd say, oh, no, I'll be here. Tomorrow, I'll be here. I'll just meet you right here. And I don't even know where right here is. And I literally went home to my dormitory that night after being out there for, I don't know, 8 or 10 hours. And I walked in both pockets like this. And I just laid scrap pieces of paper. And I sit down on the floor. And I looked at this. And my handwriting. I don't even know what half of these pieces of paper say. I honestly, I'm turning it upside down. I can't tell if it's right side up. And I literally sat there. And in a panic, because I think, I don't know how to get back to my bus route tomorrow. I don't know where these kids are. And you know what I did? I just knelt over the top of those pieces of paper and say, God, you got to bail me out. So they told me how to get to the bus where we rented the buses. And I got there, and a driver came up to me and said, hey, I'm your driver for this route. And I said, do you know where it is? And he said, yes, I do. I said, I am so glad. He said, aren't you the bus captain? I said, yeah, I have been for about 24 hours, okay? I don't know. I'm from Jacksonville, Indiana, 2,000 people, okay? He said, I'll get you there. So he said, all right, now where are we going? And he said, where's your list? And all I could think of was all these papers in my pocket, and I was not going to pull them out in front of him. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, why don't we just go start on Holman Street, and we'll go the 4 blocks, and then we'll come back. And if we zigzag and do that 6 times, then that's kind of the way I've organized this. Yeah. It's the way I organized it, all right. And I honestly am thinking, oh, my goodness sakes, this is going to be a disaster. And these kids, and you know what? We came around that first corner on Holman Street. We began to go down, and he's going, I said, slow down. I'm just hoping to recognize the building. And I look up there about a half block, and there's a couple kids standing out there, and they look vaguely familiar, kind of, maybe. And I'm looking at them, and they're looking at me, and I'm thinking, are they waiting, or are they just out here? So finally I said, stop. And he said, are they coming? I said, I don't know. I got off, went over to him and said, hey, did I talk to you yesterday? Yeah. You coming on? Yeah. All right. Okay, good. I got two. Woo! I was afraid I was going to show up with an empty bus, you know. We wandered and zigzagged through that route. My two lady workers, who I had not met yet, somebody told me they were on the same route visiting with me, and I never saw them the whole day on Saturday. I did not see them. I didn't even know who they were. I never met them. And the bus driver said, now, I think your two lady workers are on the route somewhere gathering some kids up. And I said, where? And he said, I think they're over on this street here. He'd talked to them early. And I said, I've never met them. He said, well, we'll take care of you. So he got me to zigzag, zigzag, zigzag. By the time we got halfway through the route, the bus was half full. And I thought, this is going pretty good. I mean, I just come around the corner and the kids would be standing there just watching and waiting. Some kids were standing out there, and I hadn't talked to them, but their friends had talked to them. And you know what? They just kept getting on the bus. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the work of God is exciting. It's exciting. Hey, listen, remember when you used to have the excitement? Ask God for a baptism of excitement when it comes to the things of the Lord. And finally, we took that last turn, and the last couple streets was the ones the ladies had visited. And we come around the corner, and they're standing there with about 30 kids around them. And I lose it. I mean, I am just like, are you kidding me? We pulled up there. I introduced myself to my lady workers. you're our new bus captain. I said, yeah. They said, how'd you do? And they looked on, wow. And I'm like, wow, wow. Let's go. We get on the bus. We'd leave our bus route. We'd go about 7 blocks to get on the interstate. And they're counting them, and they're writing all the names down. They're counting everybody, and they're getting them all. Their hands marked. They used to write with the marker 666. No, they write to... This may have been a bad thing now that I think about it, but so, you know, and we'd get away from things in Chicago you couldn't do in Jaysville, Indiana, but we'd take a green marker and we would write their bus number with a green permanent marker on there. Oh, yeah, it would be there weeks. I mean, some kids would just come in and say next week, no, I didn't take a bath this week. I'm good, you know. And so they wrote 113 on their hand, and finally Miss Becky looks up at me and says, you're going to believe this, we got 72. And I turn around and look at the capacity of the bus, and it's 72. Folks, all I had the night before was a bunch of wads, a piece of paper, without any. But you know, let me tell you what else I had. I had it on Saturday, and I had it on Sunday. That's an excitement about the work of the Lord. And we were about a block from getting on the interstate. And old Brother Dow was my bus driver. He didn't know what to do with me. You know, I think, you know, he'd been doing this for a while. He could tell I was a total rookie. So all of a sudden, I said, pull over. And he said, what do you mean? I said, pull over. And he's thinking, pull over. And he pulled over. And I don't know why I did this, but I got off the bus. Listen, you get on your knees and you ask God to do something, and then God does it. And you get to sit there and look at it. And down deep, you know in your heart, this had very little to do with you and mostly everything to do with him. And I'm 20 years old. But I walked around that bus about 2 or 3 times, and I am shouting and crying and shouting. And every time I'd go by, the kids would be looking out one window, you know. Then they'd all run to the other side of the bus and watch me go down this way. And about the third time I got back on, they all were sitting up straight and tall and quiet, and they were terrified. and you know what I did? I got on the bus, and I said, let's go to church. Let's go to church. Listen, folks. Starts with the feet. Starts with the feet. Then you know what it does? Goes to the eyes. Then you know what it does? Goes to the heart. Then you know what we do? We just go to work. Was every Sunday in Chicago like that? No, no. And I've had down days like everybody else that's been a bus captain had down days. I've had disappointing days. I've had days where I wanted to quit the bus ministry. You're not going to believe this, but these little kids in Chicago, they'll lie to you. No, it don't happen in Green Sullivan and Clay County, but sometimes they will tell you they're coming, and they'll all, a bunch of stinking liars. They'll just lie to you. But you know what? If you decide, listen, Sunday school teacher, how about it? How about it? Come on, bus captain, how about it? Come on. If I can stand back there in front of that map and cry over it, I think you could too if you would. How about it, Operation Occupation? How about it? How about it, nursing home workers? Used to be in 7 nursing homes. I think we're down to 5 now. It's not because we can't get in them. Not because we can't get in them. I'm going to be meeting with, I'm going to be praying about this. I'm going to meet with the sheriff over here in Sullivan County. I want to get a jail ministry going again. We're going to get a jail. Lord willing, we're going to get a jail ministry going again. So how about it? How about it? You know why? Because I need one more thing to do. That's why. Hey, preacher, did you have a good time? Yeah, I'm already praying about that. I don't know if I will or not. I might go to 3 sections instead of 2 next year. Why? Because I'm excited. Because I'm excited. Say, you don't have time to do that. I got 168 hours every week, same amount of time you do. Got to decide what you're going to do with it. Are you thinking about this? The work. Listen, don't lose the excitement. The work of the Lord is work, but it's exciting work. It's exciting work. Let me end with this. The work of the Lord is eternal work. It's an eternal work. Do you see how that verse ended there? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor, here it is not in vain in the Lord. The command of this scripture is to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Choose a seat. Refuse to budge, refuse to quit, refuse to quit doing the work of the Lord. Of all the work you can do, you should seek to be the most successful in the work of the Lord. No work that you do in this life is as important as the work you do for the Lord Jesus Christ. That work is an eternal work. The songwriter penned these words, "Only one life, so soon it is past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one chance to do his will. So give to Jesus all your days. It's the only life that pays when you recall you have but one life." 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about the foundation that no man can lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Then it talks about building on that foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, as opposed to wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble is earthly toil. And listen, folks, some of that earthly toil is necessary toil. But it's the work of this earth. It's the work of this earth. The silver, gold, and precious stones is an eternal work. I've held a number of different secular jobs in my life, everything from being a carpenter's helper to a dock worker to a delivery truck driver to running a lawn care business to a public school bus driver. The work that I did for myself to provide for my family is noble, and so is yours, but the results are not eternal. The time I spent working in the work of the Lord, these reap eternal results and eternal rewards. Jesus spent 30 years as a carpenter. Think about this, 30 years as a carpenter. Every house he built is gone. I'm talking about Jesus. Every cart he crafted is rotted away. If he built a bookshelf, it's long turned to dust. But Jesus spent 3 years preaching the kingdom of heaven, and every soul he reached is still in heaven. Every life he changed, in turn changed another life, who in turn changed another life, finally trickled down to you and me. Every man he discipled went on to win a disciple, and they in turn did the same. The work of the Lord, the work of the Lord. That was why he came to earth. God the Father sent him to do a job, and he gave himself to it, set his face like a flint, mounted an old rugged cross, suffered and bled and died, then cried out, "It is finished, it is finished." But wait a minute. His work was finished, but our work has not been finished. Now he says to us, "Listen, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful verse. I read it, and Lord, I see it in my memory's eye. I see this verse lived out in front of me. Thank you for a dad who got saved and obeyed. He started going and seeing. And then his heart was touched. And then his hands got busy. Thank you for a mother that served along beside him all those years. Thank you for the example that was given to us. Lord, I pray that we'd be busy about the work of the Lord. As I mentioned, as I know, Lord, there's a nobleness and a necessity to doing earthly work. Lord, may we, even while we're involved in that work, still look for opportunities to be busy about turning it into something eternal. Lord, thank you for this missionary month. Lord, this is kind of the closing message, the last exclamation mark we'll put on it. And then, Lord, we've sat and we've been challenged and we've learned and hopefully stirred. And Lord, I pray, dear God, as we enter into the next couple months, Lord, that we'll roll up our sleeves and be busy in the work of the Lord. Pray these things in Jesus' name.